Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host for a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, yes, formerly a special agent in charge with the Secret Service, Rich Steripoli is on the show. And we've also got, he's also got a title, Special Emissary to the Vatican. I love it. And we've got Lieutenant Rainey Sutton, retired Las Vegas Metro Police Lieutenant, also the founder of the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Thanks, gentlemen. Rainey's got a summit coming up as well that we want to hear more about. A shout out to our sponsors. We have Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And we have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, and TwoBells.com. They built our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Please go there and check out the cool gear. And now the shirt I'm wearing, this is Randy's shirt. So you really can't get it at Leo Roundtable, but you can get it at thewoundedblue.org. So, and actually they have some new versions of the shirt now. So I don't even know if this is even being made anymore. If it's not, maybe it's worth, okay, I may have to take good care of the shirt then, because it may be worth something one day. So, and the nice thing about Randy's shirts is they make your arms look just freaking huge, you know. So, and we got a shout out to Brian Burns for the Free Press, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, Travis Shates, lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those guys for helping us out. And also, you know, Scott Steyer, our Green Beret Delta Force guy, wants me to get it out more about how can they hear your show. So I think we're on every podcast outlet known to man, but especially Spotify and Apple iTunes, two of the largest. We're also all over social media, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, formerly X, True Social, and the list goes on and on and on. So the best way to figure it out, go to our website, leoroundtable.com. Top menu bar has got a link in the schedule for everywhere that we're at. And the 47 radio stations that we're on, same thing. The call signs, the radio number, the dates and times that they're broadcasting the show, all that is on there. So please check that out. Now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Let's whet the appetite. You know, we've got, there's a contingency here with the good news, but Trump's great deal opens the Strait of Hormuz, but Israel is vowing to stay in Lebanon. So, and I love Israel, and I feel compelled to support Israel. However, there's an issue going on with Israel right now. I don't know what the answer is. Hopefully, what Trump's got going on won't be ruined because of what Israel's doing. Hopefully, they'll figure it out. And then we got hot grease and stabbing. A Michigan drive-through dispute ends in attempted murder charges. You know, we've had a cop that is in jail right now because he shot and killed a female, and more specifically, a black female, which is critical to the story, that picked up a pot of boiling hot water and went to throw it on him and his partner. And a lot of people don't understand that culturally, that's a thing for blacks, especially, well, it's a cultural thing for black women because they're doing it to black men. So, and I have lived through this in my law enforcement career back in the 80s. And so this is just another example on it is a thing. I'm not making it up. It is a thing. So that's why I'm hoping that we can cover that. We've got another one here. There's a couple stories with video components. LAPD shoots a knife-wielding suspect during a burglary call. Both of these back-to-back are crazy. And then this next one, suspect fatally shot in the woods after he shoots an officer during a traffic stop and flees. That's crazy. We got a Florida prosecutor indicted after secretly mailing sealed special counsel files to her personal account. I know we covered parts of this before. Hopefully, I figured Rich would probably get into that one. And then Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office releases a body cam of a deputy shooting an armed 15-year-old. And so that's what we have, assuming that we have time to get to all those stories. So if you guys are ready to start off with the biggest news right now is involving what Trump's doing. And we've been waiting on this for a while. So the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, Trump's great deal opens the Strait of Hormuz, but Israel vows to stay in Lebanon. So people that aren't up to speed on this, you know, the goal of the show is to make you guys among the smartest people in the room when you get in these types of conversations. So we're just trying to bring you guys up to speed. So this major diplomatic breakthrough, which has been, we've been on the verge of this. In fact, well, we've been on the verge of this so long that whenever I hear that there's a deal in the works or it's going to happen, I stop paying attention because I just figure Iranians, just if their lips are moving, they're lying, and I don't trust anything that they say. And I still, even though this is being put together, I have my doubts about how long it's going to last. But this deal is between the United States and Iran, and it's clear the way to reopen the vital Strait of Hormuz, which is going to excite a lot of people, especially the countries that their livelihoods, you know, depend on this. But regional stability, the article says, remains highly volatile as Israel flatly refuses to pull its troops out of southern Lebanon, which is critical in order to allow this thing to happen. Now, President Trump announced on Sunday that the two nations reached a memorandum of understanding, and that comes before you. Of course, you sign on the dotted line. He's calling it a great deal. It'll bring peace and security to the entire region, which is where Israel's at as well. The agreement is set to be signed this coming Friday. It follows months of heavy conflict that began on February the 28th. The date's important because it kind of gives you a little hourglass into how long has it really been. This is the last day in February that this thing started. So it's been going on, for 4 months now or so. And remember that we were doing massive strikes with Israel, and we have reenlisted those strikes from time to time. Trump noted that oil will begin flowing through the Strait of Hormuz immediately after the paperwork is finalized because we have shut it down. And on Monday, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz and the National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir, they made it clear that the agreement would not alter Israel's military footprint on the ground. They're going to change nothing to help this thing go through. Israel, here's a quote that Israel's saying, Israel is not subordinate to the United States, and we are an independent and sovereign state. That's what Ben-Gvir said in a statement. We must not withdraw from any territory that our fighters have occupied and cleared of terrorist infrastructure. And so Katz echoed his hardline stance. He stated that him and Prime Minister Netanyahu, that they are enforcing a clear policy to keep the Israel Defense Forces in the newly established security zones. They've already cleared them out in Lebanon, Syria, and Gaza. And he said, use the word indefinitely. And according to Katz, these areas will be cleared of local residents. All infrastructure serving as terrorist outposts will be destroyed. And Netanyahu himself has not yet publicly commented on the U.S.-Iran understanding. But, you know, Israel doesn't want these places to be used for terrorist activity. They're close. They can do a lot of damage, and they just simply want to pretty much wipe everything out, clean it out, and then have a visual that no one is getting in there to do any bad actors, at least anyhow. So that's where we're at, but it could ruin the whole deal that Trump has now announced is being signed on Friday between the United States and Iran. So, guys, I can't wait to hear what you say. Rich, this is probably in your wheelhouse more than Randy's. I'd love to hear your take on this.
Well, listen, you know, nobody does deals better than Donald J. Trump, right? The problem is the people he's used to doing deals with can somewhat be trusted. Not in this particular case. The Iranians have been a problem specifically for the United States since they took, 100 of our guys hostage in 1980 and refused to give them back for 2 years. So what the hell makes anyone think that these savages can be trusted now, right? That's my problem with the Iranian deal. As far as the Strait of Hormuz goes, yeah, we control the whole strait. We've got ships in that strait that don't even fit in this strait. You couldn't turn an aircraft carrier around in that strait if you wanted to, right? So, yeah, it's under our control, but you got to get the thing open because the bottom line is the average American citizen or any American citizen that's worth anything wants to see gas go down to $1.50 a gallon. This $6, $7 a gallon thing is ridiculous. And a lot of that can be mitigated by opening up that strait. The third thing that you mentioned, and there's a lot to unpack in that lead-in that you gave here, but the third thing that's worth mentioning is to put things into perspective with regard to the Israelis. Think of it this way. If you're at the beach laying there in the sand, Israel is but one grain of sand. Everything else around on that beach is trying to knock Israel out of being, and this has been going on for thousands of years. So I'm a big advocate of supplying the Israelis with every armament that we've got, even ones that are experimental and we want to put to the test, and let them go to town and clean up and get the Middle East back under control. Because if Israel fails to ensure their own personal safety internally, that just opens up all sorts of problems for us here in the U.S. as well. And given the tone of what's going on here in the U.S., especially in New York City, with this communist, pro-terrorist, anti-police mayor that we've got here, with the 25th anniversary of September 11th approaching, there's nothing good that's going to come of this other than unleashing the Israelis and let them go to work here. I'd rather see them killing bad guys and towel heads over there than we have to take care of business and do it over here. So that's my quick take on everything you've just said.
So let me ask you this. If you had to choose between Israel doing its thing and jeopardizing what Trump has got, or because I was on the bandwagon, I would have pounded them into the sand and taken out the electricity, the power plants. That's what I was hoping for. And I don't care about the gas prices. I really don't care for a little bit of discomfort, to be honest with you. I'm paying at the pump. but I'd much rather pay the pump than worry about a nuclear ballistic missile coming to the continental United States. I just don't care because, you know, if that happens, nothing matters, right? So which would you, if you had to choose, or is that a realistic question?
Well, I think it's a realistic question, but the approach to it is skewed because you're dealing with a counterparty that simply can't be trusted. These guys can sign whatever you want, which is, leads bring up a new question. Well, who actually is signing this, and who is this guy, and where is he going to be next week, right? So you're going to have Ayatollah after Ayatollah. It's a waste of time. The only thing these people understand is force. And speaking of force, what kind of force are we prepared to keep there in that region, what, indefinitely? So, yeah, I get it. The deal is great. Looks great on paper. How do you enforce that and keep it enforced to ensure the safety of us here in the U.S.?
All right. I got it. Randy Sutton.
I am a firm believer that Hezbollah, the reason that Iran wants them out, wants the Israelis out, is so they can continue their onslaught and their damage to the state of Israel. Otherwise, what difference does it make to them? This is in a foreign country, it's Lebanon, and why are they so interested in allowing Hezbollah to be able to do their evil work? It's because they don't care about the United States. This deal will die in weeks, if not sooner. They're never going to uphold their end of the bargain, and we're going to have to bomb the hell out of them again.
All right, guys, you snuck in on us, but commercial time. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton from the Wounded Blue and also former Secret Service SAC Rich Daripoli. We've been talking about the announcement Trump made. We got a document being signed on Friday between the United States and Iran. And of course, you know, it's funny, you know, I didn't say anything about Israel being in there. So it's just a document from what, I mean, I didn't hear it's the United States and Israel signing a pact with Iran. So I just thought about that. I wonder, that would almost certainly have to be addressed in any agreement, but I'm not confident like you guys that this agreement's really going to last long. Something's going to happen. And if and when it does, I hope we just go in there and just put them back. Literally, they're not to the Stone Ages. Literally take the electricity. I don't want any lights on. I don't want music playing. I don't want TVs on. I want no communication. Just drop an EMP. Just detonate it, you know, in the atmosphere above Iran and let nature take its course, you know. Any final words on that?
Yeah, it's worth pointing out that it was Ronald Reagan who, when he met with the Iranians upon taking office, told them, if those hostages aren't released immediately, I'm going to bomb you back into the Stone Age, right? And that's been the policy for the last 50 years. Because if anybody thinks that these animals are worth anything with regards to the paper that treaty's printed on, it's a completely waste of time, and somebody's pulling the wool over your eyes. There is zero reason that we should afford the Iranians any opportunity to meet with any senior representative from the United States other than a commanding general or the admiral in charge of that strike force that's over there, because that's the only thing these savages understand, and that's the might of the U.S. military. I'm a big proponent and big advocate. Bomb these animals back into the Stone Age, and let's put this to rest already. This is nonsense.
Yeah, I like the way you think, and I hope most of the American people do too. If you guys are ready, I'm going to skip stories if that's okay, and I'm going to go to this Florida prosecutor that got indicted. So this is at TampaFreePress.com. I want to make sure that we cover this because Rich is on the show. So this Florida prosecutor indicted after secretly This is just, it just blows my mind. Secretly emailing sealed special counsel files to her personal account. And it gets worse. So this former high-ranking Department of Justice official, so notice that I said former, in Florida, has been indicted by a federal, not state, federal grand jury after she allegedly changed file names and covertly emailed sealed special counsel documents to her personal account in violation of a gag order that was issued actually by a judge, a U.S. District Judge, Eileen Cannon. Now, she changed the file names. That just shows so much intent. Federal prosecutors filed a formal notice indicating that Carmen Mercedes Lineberger, the former managing assistant U.S. attorney for the Fort Pierce branch office, which is south of where I'm at, has been charged with crimes. It goes on to say she allegedly disguised, just to give you guys a little peek in here, she changed the names of the sensitive Justice Department records, and she put names like chocolate cake recipe. Another one was bundt cake recipe before emailing them to her personal accounts, according to the now unsealed federal indictment. Now, the unsealed court records, they link her actions directly to the high-profile federal case involving co-defendants Waltine Nada and Carlos de Oliveira. And it goes on to say that according to the government's filing, Lineberger, our female, used her high-level security credentials to alter and conceal the true identity of a digital copy of Volume 2 of the special counsel's report. Once the file's naming structure was masked, she took steps to smuggle the records entirely outside of the DOJ Justice Department by sending electronic messages directly to her personal email accounts. The transmission directly violated a protective injunction that was handed down by Judge Cannon. That emergency mandate explicitly blocked the dissemination of highly sensitive report outside of authorized government channels, explicitly naming the agency's leadership and staff. So no way she didn't know what she was doing, was not prohibited. It goes on to talk about attorney, Merrick Garland being involved, and because of the leak originated inside the prosecutor's office, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District, they ended up having to recuse themselves. And now we've got John P. Heekin, the United States Attorney for the Northern District of Florida. He's brought in as a special attorney under federal law to handle the prosecution. So there we go. Randy, you're unmuted, so I will let you go first, brother.
I they didn't address what her motivations are. And that's got my curiosity piqued. And also, apparently, this was also involved. I got a little confused with the two different articles, because one of them was involving the Trump documents as well, and that crooked special counsel that was brought in to prosecute Donald Trump. And I'm just trying to figure out what were her motivations involving this. Stealing of the files. What was she going to do with them? Was she going to write a book? What was her motivations here? And it was never addressed in the article. But she needs to go to prison for a long, long time.
All right, Rich Terapoli, any commentary?
Oh, I'd second exactly what Randy said about sending her to prison. When you're changing the names of files, after you knew those files can't leave that courthouse, right? You're changing the names of files and disguising them to look like, you know, chocolate cake recipes, and then emailing them to your personal account. It's game over at this point. The problem is you don't need to be a professional steganographer, a code writer, to figure out what's going on here. I can easily drop something into a digital file and find out if it's been forwarded or screwed with, like the name's been changed and somebody forwards it. The problem that comes up with these people is they think they're smarter than everyone else, right? Cops see this every day. You pull somebody over, you ask me, anything in the car? Nah, I got nothing in the car. You know damn well there's something in the car. It's the same thing here with these people. Just because they're working for a prosecutor's office or they're working for some DOJ investigative office, you can't trust people. Who knows what their motivations are? Could it be money? Could it be just to bring some level of embarrassment to the president and the administration? Could be any number of things. Totally irrelevant. She did what she did, and she needs to pay the price for that. And for too long, these people have been getting away with this. Let's put the bracelets on her and send her to prison.
All right. I love it. Anything else, gentlemen? If not, we can move on to a story with a video component, which I know you guys are waiting for. So, all right, let's do that. And we're going to jump over to LAPD real quick. So at rumble.com, this is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. We have LAPD shooting a knife-wielding suspect during a burglary call.
Hey, come out, your hands up.
That's
what
I'm wrong.
Come on in.
You
got
it. Move.
Please come here.
Police department.
Police get here.
got a knife on me.
Come over here.
He's our brother's fighting. Please, sir.
I can't have
it. Officer! Officer, please! You need to leave. Officer! Help me! He's got
put
a
knife down.
He's trying
to kill me. Put the fucking knife down.
I'll kill you. You just took the fucking knife down. Shoot me right now.
Put the fucking knife down right now.
Oh my God, please.
Put the fucking knife down.
Please, shoot me.
Hit him with the 40. Hit him with the 40.
Shoot me right now.
Oh, man.
You're gonna hit
the
fart, it's gonna hurt. No! No!
Put it down!
Oh, he's gonna hurt me!
Put the fucking knife down!
Drop the fucking knife!
Put the knife down!
No!
Put it down! No. Shots fired! Put the knife down! Put the knife down!
Yes, sir! Yes, sir!
Put the fucking knife down!
And yeah, a couple of these videos are just kind of crazy. So, police shoot a knife-wielding suspect during a reported burglary early on Friday morning in South L.A. So according to the LAPD, officers from the department's 77th Division, about 4:55 in the morning, they go to a burglary in progress call. When the cops get there, they're screaming coming out from inside the residence. They force their way in, and they described it as an urgent situation. But now they're dealing with a dude wearing a diaper. So we're gonna cover that in a second. I got another commercial break sneaking up on us, guys. So let me cover that, and we'll cover the story when we get right back. Stick with us. All right, guys. Time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries, no deaths. It's an amazing stat. It's actually helped them achieve non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3, the hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. We're joined by former Secret Service SAC. We've got Rich Deripoli and also former Lieutenant LAPD Metro PD. We've got Randy Sutton, and he's also the founder of the Wounded Blue at TheWoundedBlue.org. I almost said L.A. Sheriff's Office.
You did say L.A.P.D.
Yeah, I did.
It's not L.A. It's not L.A.P.D.
Well, not it. Yeah, Las Vegas Metro.
It's Las Vegas Metro P.D. Okay.
Yeah.
Get it right.
All right, I'll get it right. See, you know, wow. When Randy Sun starts getting on my case, I get it. He's making me nervous now. So that's almost like a guaranteed another mistake coming, because now I'm nervous. All the attention. So, all right. So here we go. Well, I know. You know what it is? Is that we're covering a story from L.A. So. That's my excuse anyhow. All right. So refresh the memory of where we left off here. LAPD shoots a knife wielding suspect during a burglary call. And this is when the 77th Division, they get a call about a burglary in progress. The officers get there. They're screaming coming from inside. They force entry. And there is a dude with a diaper on. That's kind of hard. I mean, you know, when it starts, I see Rich shaking his head. He's obviously got a personal experience that he doesn't want to think about involving a man with a diaper. But I'm thinking this has something to do with the call. Like this is going to be like the bad guy, and he really not. It's like around the corner. So after we get past the dude that's pretty much naked except for the diaper, they go down the hallway, and then they turn the corner, and there's these two guys. And our bad guy's name is Frederick Spells. He's 64 years old. But you got two guys. They both have got a hold of a knife that's in a horizontal position. And in all honesty, it was kind of hard to tell, you know, which one the bad guy was, right? Because you got one, a victim trying to keep the guy from stabbing, and the other dude holding the knife, trying to get it away so he can stab the victim. But then our bona fide bad guy starts making statements that clearly show, you know, when he's telling the cops, you know, just shoot me, or he's being defiant and stuff, you know, we know who the bad guy is. But the hand positions are the same for both guys. In fact, the victim on the other side who was shirtless, and these are both big boys, by the way, he ended up getting, he had injuries to his hands from grabbing onto the blade of the knife. So the police deploy 40 millimeter less lethal launcher twice. And dude, I don't know if you guys saw it. So the bad guy on the right side, the 40 millimeter hits his big boys, remember? hits his belly, bounces off, and hits the dude across from him, holding on to the other to the knife from the other side, and bounces off of his belly. And he was shirtless, so you could see the bounce going off. So I'm just thinking, these are just big boys, big bellies. I mean, you know, I don't know what this. The 40 milliliter didn't even affect either one of them. And so the suspect continues to ignore commands. There comes a point to where I thought I heard the victim say they're trying to defuse the situation. And the victim said something along the lines of, it sounded like it was coming from him saying, hey, he said he was going to stab me, but he starts to let go and like back into a room. But then when he lets go of the knife, bad guy turns around and he's going after him. And so that's when they pretty much do a 40 mil less lethal again. And they shoot him at the same time. It looks like the bad guy survives. They take him to the, let me think about it. They render it at the scene before he's taken away. It says that the victim suffered an injury to his hand, and the bad guy was taken to the hospital in critical condition. And just kind of looking at my show notes to make sure I covered everything. I think that's pretty much it. It's a tough situation to deal with, but we have Randy Sutton on the show, and he's dealt with a lot of these. So, but of course, he's in Las Vegas Metro. So, Randy Sutton.
Let me say this. Contact wound to the head.
Oh.
I think they waited way too long to shoot this guy. This guy is trying, he's literally, the victim is trying to save his own life or from getting stabbed. And he's getting stabbed. He's holding on to the blade. Game's over, man. Game's over. This guy's armed with a knife. Why use a low lethal on this? Shoot him. Done. See you later. Adios.
Yeah. Rich?
Randy put it perfectly, right? The problem is the cops nowadays, and this has been going on maybe for the last decade, they've got a whole assortment of less than lethal crap that they've got. Listen, somebody needs to tell these guys there's situations you're going to roll up into that warrant the use of lethal force. This guy should have been dropped immediately. Come on, this is nonsense, screwing around with tasers and 40 millimeter hand cannons and nets. What are you, Batman? This isn't Gotham City. Shoot this guy, move on with your day. It was perfectly warranted, and this guy should have been killed immediately. I have nothing else to say about that. And we can deal with the guy in the diaper later on, but that should tell you there's another problem there.
And by the way, I don't think this was a burglary call. This call came out as this guy's trying to stab me.
Well, it said it was a burglary in progress is what the report said. So, but it could be bad info.
No, Randy's right. They probably had to write it up somehow, and they figured, all right, we'll write it up as a burglary in progress. But there's no way this was called into 911 as a burglary in progress. It was, hey, this guy's he's trying to kill me, that type of thing.
You know, I remember them asking if the guy, if they knew the guy, you know, because the guy that was talking with the 911, he kept having to get off the phone, and he, you know, dispatcher's like asking questions. He can just send somebody now, please send somebody. And of course, they're not saying they did. So yeah, I don't know, but yeah, it was obviously not that. So, well, if you guys are ready to go into the next one, it's a doozy, and there's gonna be more to talk about before we get to the hot grease story. So on this next one, we've got rumble.com again. This is Butter. We got a suspect fatally shot in the woods after he shoots at an officer or shoots an officer during a traffic stop.
What I'm going to do is a quick vehicle search. Okay, no weapons in here. Drugs.
There's no drugs.
Okay, that's what I'm going to confirm.
What's your probable cause?
I don't have probable cause. I have consent.
From who?
Her. All right. So go ahead and hop out. Okay. Going to be doing a vehicle search. Okay. No weapons on you, nothing like that. Okay. You mind if I check you for weapons?
No, I don't.
Okay. Go ahead and face the car.
I said no.
I understand that. Go ahead and take your hand out from behind your back.
I'll just
go ahead and beat.
Stop. Get off.
No! No!
Shots fired. Shots fired. 41. 41. Flex your gun. 31.
Let me see your ass!
Shots fired. Shots fired.
Yeah, the headline, the title says he shot at an officer, but I believe that officer was shot and went down and then did a double tap response. So we're in Greene Township, Ohio, and it was a routine traffic stop. It happened on Monday morning, and it turned into a high-speed chase, three officer-involved shootings, and a manhunt that extended well into the evening and ended with a suspect's death. So Michael W. Decker's our bad guy, 53 years old. He ends up dying as a result of his injuries, but he got those at the very end of the stuff going down. And the shooting happened in a wooded area along Mine Road in Greene Township. We have the Harrison County Sheriff's Department involved, and that is Sheriff Mark Tuville that's giving statements about, you know, how this thing went down. So in a series of events that started about 11:35 in the morning, so just before 12 noon on Monday, a sheriff's deputy stops a vehicle on US 250 in Franklin Township. And Decker, our bad guy, he was in the rear passenger seat behind the driver's seat in the vehicle on the traffic stop. And they're kind of leaving some stuff out of here, so I'm going to kind of let you know, kind of cover it as it went down. So the cop ends up getting the female out of the car, and he's got her calling somebody, but she's the driver. And so she's standing up between the cruiser and her vehicle, and she's partially blocking the dash cam that's in the cruiser. And our cop is now dealing with the bad guy that's in the back seat, but he's just Cool Joe. He was smoking a cigarette. Well, the cop, now he's telling him that he wants him to, you know, to come out of the vehicle. So but the guy's fidgety. Is there any weapons or in the, but the guy keeps, I'm watching that hand going behind his back, his left hand. And the cop apparently notices that as soon as the guy gets out of the back seat, stands up. Now he's getting kind of squirrely. So cop goes hands on. Next thing we know, the guy had been making movements towards his like waistband. Next thing we know, the guy produces a pistol. Cop lets go. I kind of would have liked him. He was so close. I kind of would have liked to seen him like try to at least fight over the weapon, but lets go, creates distance, and you hear one gunshot go off. Now the body cam falls off the cop, so we have to kind of like assume some of the stuff that happened, but it appears to me at least that the bad guy shot the cop once. There's like maybe 4 seconds, and then you hear like a double tap, which I'm assuming is our cop that's on the ground, has lost his his body cam. And he fires at the bad guy, and looking at another shot later from the dash cam, our bad guy picks up something dropped off the ground. He gets in the driver's seat of the car that he just got out of, and he hauls butt, leaving the female driver and the cop, injured cop, behind. Cop gets on the radio, and now he calls the cavalry. And so now we got the troopers involved, which end up finding this guy barreling down the road. They use stop sticks. The guy cuts across the median after stop sticks are deployed. And there were a couple of attempted deployments on the stop sticks. And then the car stops in the oncoming lane. And so now the weirdest thing is our trooper is in the cockpit of the car, opens up the door, and our bad guy starts to shoot at him. And the trooper's shooting at our bad guy. I count 5 shots, and then I count a 6th shot from the trooper. He's got a decent-sized pistol. No way the mag. I mean, I don't even think he reached half the capacity of the magazine. He does a mag swap, but he's still sitting in the freaking car with the door open. And at some point, he's fishing around. Apparently, the mag, after he inserted into the gun and he racks one in the chamber, and I don't think the chamber was empty. Now he's fishing around trying to find the mag, and he gets out of the car. It was about, I think, a total of about 23 seconds, and he puts it in. And then you hear him re-rack it later on, and he moves and he goes outside the car, but he gets out with a gun that, other than maybe having one in the chamber, it had no magazine at all. And so I wasn't too impressed with him. He goes, the trooper, and there's some gunfire going on. The trooper pops the hatch on his cruiser. He is filled with bags to the wazoo. He grabs one small bag. I don't know what it had in it. Goes to the driver, to the passenger side, and puts it inside the passenger seat of his car. No, and there's a dude that's come up the back of him that does have a rifle, But I saw with all the bags, you would think they'd at least have some kind of a long gun in there. So bad guy runs away from his car into the woods. Another trooper pulled up behind him. So he had guys on both sides of him. He couldn't keep watching both of them. That's probably why he did that. Air service is up. They get another shootout, kill the guy. And we got some great video of that. We got 10 seconds, guys. We got to go to commercial break. We will break this down when we come back. Stick with us. All right, guys. Time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And there is some new stuff going on with GunLearn. So if you haven't heard lately, pay attention, because GunLearn.com, for starters, they are the first and only company that offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. Now, here's the deal. The certified firearm specialist, now it's worth college credits. And why? Because they partner with Smarter Degree and their university partners. And now, even if you got that certification 5 years ago, it's now worth college credit. So it's an amazing feat. And they've been doing this since 1996. They've been teaching everything that LEOs, law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and also ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. And you can start the day with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And if you have your own agency, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. You go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Hook up with the founder, Dan O'Kelly. Again, GunLearn.com. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by former Secret Service SAC Rich Steripoli and former Las Vegas Metro Police Lieutenant Randy Sutton, founder of The Wounded Blue at TheWoundedBlue.org. We left off talking about a suspect fatally shot in the woods after he shoots an officer during a traffic stop. And this is in Ohio, and so we got the state troopers involved. And I left out one of the best parts, guys. They release the canine on this dude. The canine gets a freaking free meal out of this, and it was great. I saw the guy had a gun by him, because you can see it in the in the video from air service, and I know the cops were like walking all over the place, and then I saw the picture of the gun, and it was like blended in perfectly with the leaves. So I was kind of worried about them missing the gun and having the guy produce it, shooting the cops or the dogs. It all worked out, but wow, what a video to cover, Randy. I mean. And the trooper that finally caught up with the guy, crap.
This was, this took hours. They searched the woods. Thank goodness for the air unit. If it hadn't been for the air unit, they would never have found this guy. Yeah. Because they used the FLIR, the forward looking infrared to find the guy. Lot to unpack on this one. This bad guy, he's a serious bad guy. You can tell at the very beginning that this guy is a hinky dude, and the way he's answering the questions, the hair on the back of my neck was standing way up on this. And here's the thing, the officer has to go through the motions here. He's got his gun hand. He's got a pen in it, and he's writing this information down. And the whole time I'm thinking, oh my God, he'll never be able to draw his gun fast enough if this guy draws on him. This could have turned out, we don't even know the condition of the officer. I noticed that this was never said. But there was a lot of, there was a lot of signs here that this was going to go south. And this is where we're waiting for a backup can be absolutely critical. But here's the other part of that equation. We have no idea where his backup is. Is this a 26, deputy, sheriff's department, where his backup is going to be 30 minutes away? And so you got to weigh all of the considerations here while you're making this very, very critical stop here. But there was a lot of signs here that this was going to go south. But you're right about the other officer with the, I couldn't figure out what he was doing with that magazine thing going on. So, at the end of the day, bad guy's dead. Happy ending.
Yeah. Rich, dear Paul.
Well, I agree with that. Listen, anytime a bad guy ends up dead, perfectly happy with that. It's one less thug we've got to deal with. I love the fact that the dog got a piece of him too, right? The dog is the greatest asset you could ever use, in addition to the FLIR from the air assets. But one thing I just like to point out, because I know there are a lot of cops that are listening to this, don't get caught up in the fact that the media always represents this as a routine car stop.
Yeah,
nothing routine about a car stop. The routine is in the fact that that's what you're doing during the course of your day, whether you do one car stop or 25 of them. That's the routine part of it is. But every one of these is unique and equally as dangerous and needs to be treated as such. And Randy put it perfectly. That's the type of thing where when you're making the decision to pull this car over, you've got to weigh what else is going on here. Like, where is my backup? How long is it going to take for them to get there? And is this the proper place to be pulling this guy over to begin with? Because you don't know what's inside of this vehicle. The only difference between a vehicle and going into a guy's house is the vehicle's on wheels. Short of that, the level of danger still exists the same as if you're taking a door down and hitting an apartment in the South Bronx or in Ybor City. You just don't know what you've got there. So even though you may think it's routine, it's not routine with regards to the level of danger and potentially what may happen to you here.
Agreed. And let's look at the fact that how often do you make a car stop and there's a driver who basically said, I don't know who that guy is really. Right. And he's in the back seat.
Yep. Yep.
That to me is a red flag right there.
Agreed.
Yeah. You know, I would have liked to have seen, look, this trooper needs training. I would take him off the street if he worked for me. And I'm not saying I would get rid of him. I would not. I would train him if he can get trained. Because so here, I'm going to be a little critical here. And this is only to help this guy out and other guys watching that don't pick up on it. So he knew the history of this guy, knew he'd already shot a cop. And the vehicle was already stopped in the oncoming lane when he pulls up. So he needed to position his car. If he didn't like the position of his car, that's his fault, because he could have angled his car a little bit more. And then he's sitting in a coffin. I cannot believe that he didn't get out of his car and he's engaging the bad guy while he's sitting in the car with limited cover. And then the whole thing with the magazine and stuff and being able to operate, under stress and then getting out of the car. I mean, if you're going to be in the car, it's bad enough, but getting out of the car without a magazine and you got it in your hand, you haven't put it in yet. I mean, you know, doing a tactical reload. So there's so many mistakes with that. I mean, 23 seconds without the magazine, there is no, the guy should really, he should be dead. It is a gift from God that this trooper survived this. That bad guy could have charged him and it would have been over. He had no way to protect himself. So that is serious. That's a training deficiency. So I'm not sure if it's on the agency side or the trooper side or both, but they need to look at that before it happens again, in my opinion. So any other commentary, guys, or?
I think you're right about that, Chip, but I'm betting also if you start talking to his fellow troopers, you're going to find out that this guy wasn't their finest trooper that they've got there. And his reputation probably preceded himself. People are so quick to blame the training. Yeah, okay, the training may be at fault here, but you know what? To do your job properly is incumbent upon you. And to do some of the things that went on here, I've got to ask myself, where is this guy's head at? He didn't just wake up that morning and it got to that point. This is something that's been festering, you know, probably since he first started.
Yeah, well, let's
talk about training for a minute. I think it's important. We're now training our cops not to be warriors. We're training our cops to be very reactive. We're training our cops to use low lethal. I've been watching this trend taking place, and it makes me insane, of police officers deploying tasers against firearms, low lethal shotguns against firearms. The reality is this. This is a dangerous job. There are people out there that want to kill you. And we need to train our police officers for the warrior mindset. And we have been straying away from that for years now. And it's getting our cops hurt. It's getting our cops killed. I'm actually headed down to Mississippi Thursday for a horrible situation with a deputy who was shot during a car stop, and he was told he's never going to walk again. This is tragic, absolutely tragic. He got hit with an AK-47 round, and he's facing life-changing injuries. And I got to tell you, man, we're hoping that we're going to be able to offer him some incredible medical help that he wouldn't be able to get in rural Mississippi. And that's why I'm going down to Mississippi. But this is, and from another car stop, two bad guys, and now he's facing a life that is uncertain. We have to train our cops to be warriors. And by the way, this guy is a true warrior. He's fighting right now. He's fighting for his life. He's fighting to recover. And we at the Wounded Blue are literally, I'm flying down to his bedside on Thursday.
Wow. Wow. Well, yeah. Thanks for sharing that with us. What do you know what agency off the top of your head or?
Yeah, it's a small sheriff's agency. I think they got 22 or 23 deputies in rural Mississippi.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So guys, appreciate thinking about him. We are winding it down, gentlemen. It's been a great show. These two videos weren't really easy. Especially this last one. So, thanks guys for breaking it down and adding some excellent professional commentary. So thanks so much to former Secret Service SAC, Rich Derpoli, and former Las Vegas Metro Police Lieutenant, Randy Sutton, founder of the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org.
Retired.
Or retired. Okay. Retired. So he is hard today. Well, since I'm in a good mood, let's talk about the summit. 30 seconds, Randy Sutton.
Our sixth annual National Law Enforcement Survival Summit. Every police officer in the country should attend this. It is life-changing. It is life-saving. And also, if you want to support our organization, donate $9.11 a month. That's what we're asking. Because when people need help, they call 911. But when the police need help, they call the Wounded Blue.
I love it. All right, excellent. So do that. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Wounded Blue in just 1 second. Guys, a shout out, Gauls.com. Don't forget, discount code RADIO15, ComplyTechnologies.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, TwoBells.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.